Welcome to the Lost Dot Podcast and the fourth edition of the Trans-Pyrenees Race, supported by our race partners, Pedaled, Tailfin, Komoot, and Peak Design. As day two breaks at TPR number four, it's clear that a number of riders have had a tough time in some difficult weather overnight. Unseasonal snowfall in the High Pyrenees has seen them swap short sleeves for thick thermals, and things aren't much better this morning, with more snow and storms creating challenging riding conditions. Race reporter Tom Probert is out in the thick of it too. He speaks to George Dukas, Cap 96, as he battles the elements.
Sorry?
You enjoying the weather?
Yeah. Yeah, I hadn't really counted on this.
Can you just describe the conditions?
It's just snow all around and in my eyes and in my face, and I'm absolutely freezing. It's okay actually because I'm going uphill, but I'm terrified for the downhill.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to get properly cold. Because you kind of come up into the storm.
Yeah.
You could see the snow line from quite far away.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was thinking, oh, maybe we'll just go under it, and then no.
Yeah.
Right up in it.
Tom here from Control Car 1. We've been up and out on the road early this morning before sunrise to try and catch riders on the Port de la Bonegua Pass. So we're climbing up there in the dark, and we've just seen George coming up, and about halfway up, just as the sun was rising, the rain really started to set in and we drove into a storm really. Visibility's gone down to virtually nothing, and there's snow all around us here, kind of dusting the hillside. Not super deep, but snow everywhere, and it's actually snowing as well. It's freezing up here, so all our riders coming up have really got a big challenge in store, and hopefully they've got the appropriate equipment to keep them nice and toasty on their way up. But yeah, it's going to be tough for them.
Tom speaks to another rider taking on the snowy conditions, Esther Lloyd, Cap 68.
Esther, how are you feeling?
Oh, you know, it's snowing.
Yeah.
And I'm not even at the top. Yeah, not too bad. Just doing my own thing, taking my time.
But yeah, looks like you're well prepared here.
I don't know. I'm going to put the puffer on already for the descent. I'm really nervous about the descent.
So you're able to keep yourself warm when you're on the climb?
Yeah.
And then on the descent, you think it's going to be super cold?
Yeah, well, and also slippery, snowy. I mean, it's nothing like the gravel yesterday.
How was that?
It's actually so much fun. Yeah. I think that was the highlight so far. Yeah. I need a good gravel bike now. It was good.
So have you chosen quite a lot of gravel options then along the way?
No, I've got two gravel options, and then maybe tonight I'll be hiker biking, but we'll see how far I get.
So we've just got into a little cafe for breakfast, and as quite often happens, we've found a race bike parked outside, lights still flashing, the telltale sign of one of our TPR riders seeking out some food and warmth. So let's go and find out who it is.
Enjoying a hearty breakfast, Tom finds George Dukas again.
You're getting warm.
Yeah. I was right about the descent. I said it'd be cold, and it was. It was really, really cold.
The kind gentleman is bringing a tortilla over. Look at that.
La mejor tortilla del mundo, eh?
That's amazing. That'll sort you out. So George has got some freshly made tortilla and some... Yeah. What else have you got there?
I don't know. Some sort of cheese and some...
Like some bread with
tomato on it, maybe?
And some olive oil. That looks amazing. Mm. And a hot drink, I'm assuming, there.
Yeah.
You're shaking. You're shivering.
I was. I'm still shivering. I've been inside for 10 minutes and I'm still totally frozen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was sitting outside because I was just trying to find somewhere sheltered, and I just chose that, and then the man sort of just opened the door and let me in. But
oh, so you didn't even know it was open? No. Oh, that's amazing. So how does this feel then, this moment?
Very good, yeah.
After that brief moment to warm up in the cafe, Control Car 1 is back on the road and into the snow, where they run into Graham Stewart, Cap 28.
Christmas has come early.
Yeah, that's right. Lovely. I didn't expect this.
No?
No.
I don't think anyone did.
No.
Have you prepared for it, though? That's the question.
Well, I've got all my layers on because the descent's going to be a bit nice. And these are waterproof.
There's a great combination going on here of waterproof trousers and sandals.
Waterproof socks.
Waterproof socks and sandals.
Layered up. Oh, yeah.
It's possibly a unique combination. I don't think I've seen that technique before. I love it.
It's good because, I mean, you know, my sandals get soaked. I take all the socks off and everything dries out really quickly.
Yeah.
So it works for me.
It makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, not a lot of people seem to go for that because it doesn't exactly look that stylish, but, you know, it works.
So how are you doing? You seem in pretty good spirits despite the conditions.
No, I'm loving it.
Yeah?
Yeah, really loving it. I mean, this is really quite a bonus, I think. You don't normally get this time of year, I don't think, do you?
I don't think so, no.
No, so I don't know what the tourmalet is going to be like tomorrow.
You feel like you're getting the real mountain experience.
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah.
It's Tom here from Control Car 1, reporting in from about halfway up the La Porte de la Bonegua Pass. Kind of giving you a quick update on the state of play in the race. Some interesting movements happening overnight. So it looks like Molly Weaver has passed Fiona Kolbinger to take the place of first place woman on the race. And also very interesting, at the very front of the race, the front three have split apart, taking completely different strategies approaching CP3. So Robert Muller's gained a small lead over Robin Gempela after taking a bit of a shortcut, and Anatole is taking a really radical route, heading north, looking for flatter, faster roads. And then the lad that we met in the restaurant last night, number 31, Manuel Rudaz, who was kind of gunning for those top three places, is now hot on the heels of Robin, having ridden through the night as he said he was going to do. So I'm going to get back into the warmth of the car now, because we're in the middle of a snowstorm up here.
Mid-morning on day two, Robin Gempela, cap number one, and Robert Muller, cap 60, have chosen to take the shorter gravel option, which takes them south from Col d'Aspin, control point 2, towards control point 3 and taller Odessa. But with the snow and cold conditions, good kit choices are essential. The team in Control Car 2 caught up with both riders, first Robin, then Robert.
How's it going?
I think better than for Robert. He was swearing, but I understand with his road shoes, of course. Poor guy. No, but no, it's fine. I suffered in the night, it was fucking cold. On Tourmalet there was snow. I hope that when going back, the Great Pyrenees is not spoiled with such bad weather. But I think it should be better. Otherwise it will be a super tough mental challenge.
Just the dumbest shit I've ever done with a bike.
Can you describe to me what you've got on your feet?
This is what you get for free in some hotels.
Oh my gosh.
And I thought it would be okay for, if there would be a path for hiking.
Yeah.
I thought it would be okay. But this is just snow and ice and water.
Yeah.
And shit from cows or sheep. So
it's been challenging.
So slippery.
And yeah.
I crashed a few times. I hope I didn't damage my bike. I mean, landscape is nice, of course.
Yeah. But
I should have taken the detour, the 90k round.
Mm.
Would have been much better.
What was it that tempted you to come over this pass instead?
Yeah, on Komoot it looked quite okay.
Yeah.
And I thought you can save some time. But when you walk like me, you will not save time. Robin passed me just like whoosh. He sprinted down, and I have to be very careful with every step.
Yep.
Race coordinator, David Eyre.
We are currently standing on the side of the mountain pass between Gavarni and Tola Odessa. We have just seen Robin Gempola and Robert Muller come through. The conditions right up at the top on the pass are pretty cold at the moment. There is snow rolling over the top. There is a strong icy wind as well. And the riders have a couple of river crossings to contend with as well before they can start making their way down the mountain proper as well. It'll be interesting to see how much of an advantage this offers them compared to someone like Anatole, who has taken the longer but much flatter road route round as well. So they should be converging down at the control point in the next hour or so, and we'll get to see how the race plays out from there. Their way here, and for those who make the decision, are going to have a pretty tough time coming over the Tourmalet. We heard from Robert that from about 1800 metres up there was fresh snow on the mountain, and then up at the top as well there was actually ice on the road, so he had to be incredibly careful coming over the top. So hopefully all those other riders will be exercising similar levels of caution and then wrapping up warm for when they come over this pass as well down to CP3.
Race reporter Stuart Downey.
We just passed Manuel Rudez, cap 31 on the road, and a little later we decided we were going to pull in for some refreshments for ourselves, and he had the same idea. So we've just bumped into him in a little supermarket in a town called Biescas after control point 3. How are you doing?
Salut. Nice, thank you. All good.
Time for a resupply.
Yeah.
What are you grabbing?
Haribo. And cook nice food, healthy food.
How are you feeling?
Nice. I'm happy to have finished the gravel, the hiker bike, the baby hiker bike. That was a really difficult one. But yeah, really nice, really beautiful.
You said you're going to sleep a little bit later. Are you going to do that? Are you going to do that indoors or outdoors?
Indoors. Yeah, it was too cold last night. Yeah. Really too cold. Snow everywhere. At each stop, and then rainy, yeah, it was freezing. So I think I will dry and have a shower this evening.
It's lunchtime here for Control Car 1. I've just parked up on one of the hairpin bends at the very bottom of the Col de Perisord climb, and the conditions couldn't be more different to earlier on. The sun's out, it's beating down on us here. You can hear the crickets around us and the birds chirping. There's a suggestion of a little light breeze, but it's pretty still. And we're just, we've set up, we're having our lunch on one of the little brick walls next to the road. And we're just watching George from earlier, the young chap that we found sheltering in the cafe and warming up, and he's now making his way up this climb. Hello George, how you doing?
Good. Slow progress.
Yeah.
Not got as far as I wanted to today.
Yeah.
Partly because of the blizzard, partly because I'm tired, but I think that just happens really.
Natural.
Yeah.
How are you adjusting to that?
Good, I'm sort of finding my rhythm, because you find a rhythm the first day and then the second day you find a rhythm for the rest of the week. Yeah, hoping to get checkpointing a bit more still. I think I can do that still.
How did you feel after your breakfast where we last saw you?
Much, much better, yeah.
That did the trick?
Yeah, absolutely.
Nice one. So, you excited about this climb?
This one, it's the finished one.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's the Aspin, and then there's we're doing Tourmalet,
yeah,
and then Gavarnie, and then downhill or flat.
Another rider climbing the Col de Perisord on the way to Control Point 2 is Matthias Ulrich, cap 78.
How are you enjoying the climb?
It's really nice.
Yeah, enjoying it.
Important to be in the in a regular rhythm, yeah, and pace.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've almost made it, so that's good.
Nearly there.
Yeah. Well, it's not the final climb for today. So, but yeah.
I think on this race, it's never the final climb, is it?
No,
it
isn't.
There's always one more.
But look at the scenery here. It's absolutely marvellous.
Can you describe the scenery a little bit?
Well, it's so... I've never seen that many hues of green. Can you say that?
Yeah, yeah, like shades like
different,
of green.
Different shades of green.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, it's just so calm as well.
TPR veteran Juan Miri, Cap 93.
I'm feeling like Droopy. Do you know Droopy?
Droopy?
Yeah, the dog.
The dog, yeah.
Voila. You know Droopy, when he makes the race, he goes slowly, but he never stops. And all the others, they go quick.
Yeah.
They stop. So I decided that in this race, I'm going to be Droopy.
Gregory Garcia, Cap 100, is another rider ploughing on, trying to keep his spirits up despite some damage to his bike.
Well, last night was like quite an, an adventure. I fell off the bike.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, in the gravel section.
Was it a bad fall?
Yeah, I broke the rim. The rim's dead. I hit the road and I fall off over the bike.
Oh man. So the bike is damaged.
The bike is damaged, and the guy is damaged.
The guy is damaged? Did you take some injuries? Ribs. Yeah. And is that affecting your riding?
It's affecting my mood.
Affecting your mood, yeah. So you've been a bit down.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the rim, is that, are you going to have to get that repaired?
I'll finish. I'll go on like this.
You can carry on like that.
Yeah, it's tubeless tire, but I had a spare tube.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just put the tube inside and it seems okay.
Unlike Robert Muller in his free hotel sandals, Tim Budd, Cap 66, has come properly prepared for the gravel sections. That means plenty of layers and replacing kit quickly when things go missing.
You suffering?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You're suffering well?
I'm suffering well. I could suffer better, to be honest. I lost my shoe covers on the gravel section yesterday, so I had to buy some new ones.
Oh, okay.
So my feet are now warm, which is nice.
How did you lose them?
They fell out one of my bags on one of the really bumpy sections.
Okay, yeah.
So yeah, I was very glad to have my mud guards on.
Yeah.
It was it got a bit wet and snowy up over one of the passes.
Just for comfort, or is there any other benefit?
I get very cold feet.
Okay, yeah.
And that's always a bad thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, going all right. I'm hoping to get to a Tola this evening. No idea what time. Someone was saying they wanted to go over the Col de Tent in daylight. I'm not going to be able to get over there in daylight, but I spent a fair few years in the mountains, so I'm hoping it should be all right.
So you've got some mountain experience.
Yeah, a fair amount. Yeah.
What are the main things that you're keeping kind of wary of then?
Well, obviously weather exposure. I've got a decent number of layers. Sleepiness in these shoes. I've done fell running for a decade, and I've been on mountain rescue for a decade, so I think I should be all right.
Well suited to this environment then.
Hopefully, fingers crossed. Yeah, yeah. We'll see.
David Sanchez, Cap 22.
How's the cold?
Good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. At the start, you said you were feeling a bit ill.
Yeah, my lungs are still a bit swollen, but it's not a matter.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You look like you're trying to put one... take a glove off or you're putting your gloves on?
Put it in. Try to get dressed on the bike. It's choreography.
It's a difficult skill to master, isn't it?
Yeah.
Especially when you're climbing like this and you're not going too fast.
It's useful. Like, I don't like to stop to get dressed.
Yeah.
So I always do that while riding.
You would think it wouldn't make much difference to just stop for like 30 seconds, would you? But I guess it all adds up.
No, it doesn't make any difference. But for the mind, uh-huh. I like just to go and not to stop at every pass and everything.
Yeah.
And be ready for the next one. Go with the flow.
Yeah. So you feel like you're recovering?
A bit, but it still take a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And are you feeling frustrated that you're not going as fast as you would like?
No, not at all.
No?
No, I'm just going with the flow, going with my rhythm,
yeah.
And it's quite pleasant. Great. Not to be stressed. Like I don't feel stressed about the race or the others. So I just go my way.
So you're having a zen race.
Yeah. Like always.
I've just been doing hill reps up and down the Perisord, running after riders, and it's like as soon as I've interviewed one, I get back to the control car and there's another rider coming around the corner, so I have to quickly do another sprint and have another chat. But that was that's all part of the fun. Next one up, we're just waiting for Omar to come around the corner, and that'll be quite interesting because he's a lot further down the field than anyone was expecting, so let's find out what's been going on.
Omar is Omar De Felice, Cap 98.
And just do the choice to enjoy the Pyrenees in the touring mode.
Yes.
It was a very long season right now, from Antarctica to Australia, and then the full the transcontinental. So now, just time to end the season in this amazing scenery. Just trying to go to Girona and enjoy the mountains.
Yeah, we were obviously expecting to see you a lot higher up in the field, so it's surprising. Is it difficult to for you to adjust to mentally?
It's more mentally than physically, because you know, you have to be focused. You must be focused if you want to ride all night long.
Yeah,
it's not this moment for me. I just want to enjoy, to relax, to rest during the night, and then to ride across the Pyrenees.
Yeah, so it becomes a different experience.
Yeah, honestly, it's the first time of my career that I start for an ultra cycling race without the race mode on.
Yeah.
So it's amazing.
The final rider Tom speaks to on the Col de Perisord is Sophia Atwood-Appley, Cap 63, who'd been having technical issues on the start line yesterday morning.
How's the dynamo?
It's working! It's actually working. And you know what else as well? I was using it as my only light. So, I mean, I've been slagging it off the whole time, saying it's not even bright enough to see with, so there's no point in having it. But actually it is.
Great. So how did you fix it?
I just shouted at it a bit, and then it started working.
Great.
Well, it was just on that first parkour section out of Girona, we climbed up and started descending, and then I just saw a little flicker, and I was like, it's working! Yay! And then it's been working ever since.
Great.
I think it was just sleepy. It just needed to get going.
Stuart here in control car 2. We're at the top of the Portelet. It's around about 1,800 metres. It's about 8 degrees. It's quite cold. It's beautiful and sunny as well, so it's a nice little combination. We are up here hoping to see Molly Weaver, who is cap number 9, the leading woman on the road. Who should be here any minute now, and we're hoping that she might stop to have a little chat.
Yeah, I'd say incredible start to the day. About 4 hours ago, absolute shit. And now I feel like I rallied again, so...
Nice.
Yeah. Actually, yesterday, once it went dark, I climbed that last climb, I don't know what it was, with the snow. Actually, as soon as the weather turned, horrendous. And like I was being blinded by snow, and I was so cold, and everything was soaked. I was having so much fun. I was like, I felt this is the wrong way around. Like when it was cruisy in the day, I was like, this is horrible. And then as soon as it just turned savage, I was like, oh yeah, pretty sweet.
You like it when it's tough?
I think I just packed enough layers, which is like the first time I've ever done that. So I was like, you know what? I'm actually quite warm. So yeah, I was just chuffed that I didn't carry them for no reason. You know, when you carry like heavy layers and you almost like want to use them, otherwise you're just going to spend the entire ride being like, why did I pack all this? Why am I carrying this up like 500 mountains?
Plenty of riders are expected to pass through the second passive control point 2 at Col de Aspen today. And as the afternoon unfolds, some better weather emerges.
Tom here from Control Car 1, reporting from the Col d'Aspin. We're stationed probably about halfway up the col, the climb. We just parked up on one of the hairpins, catching riders as they go past, so Liz can get some shots, and then I've been grabbing some interviews as riders are climbing and they're a little bit slower, so I can chat to them while they're riding and not slow them down. And after a shaky start with the weather, it's really come good, and as we're getting into the evening now and the sun's getting lower, it's started to dip down behind a lot of the big hills and foothills around us, which are shrouded in cloud, and the light's just picking up the very tops of the tree line now and painting a really dramatic picture across the whole landscape. And it's just a very peaceful autumnal scene here with a few leaves scattered on across the floor as well. Very, very pleasant place to be riding your bike of an evening.
Of course, riding's also much more pleasant when you're feeling fit and healthy. Pavel Krajcik, Cap 59, is having issues with his knee that are forcing him to rethink his route.
It was quite okay, but my left knee started to hurt.
Oh, okay.
So, but until it's not so bad, I keep going.
Yeah, yeah. Is that something that's happened before?
No.
New injury.
No knee pain.
Is there anything you can do to help?
Resting.
Yeah. Not an option.
My plan is now probably go over Portalet, so stick to the road.
Okay.
No off-road section because of the rain today. Could be dangerous.
So you've had to change your plan a little bit.
I wanted to go this hike bike, Guerre de Gavarnie, but into the night, after the rain, probably not the best choice. Yeah.
Ben Schwilon, Cap 18.
Oh, I started off awful. So cold, so cold.
Did you get caught in any snow?
I did. I got the sleet on the Col de Bonega. And then on the way down, it felt like my face was being sandblasted. So, yeah, that was tough.
Yeah.
But there was a cafe 6K from the bottom.
Yeah.
Which was a real saviour. Super nice.
I think everybody passed through the same cafe this morning.
Yeah. So that was good. And then after that, I switched my routes and went down into the valleys instead of doing the extra climbs. I was too worried of a repeat.
Did you have that pre-planned?
I had both routes planned. Yeah. I'm here for the mountains, so I was hoping to go over the Portillon and the Bersoud, but I didn't want to risk it.
You weren't expecting the weather to be that bad?
Yeah. I mean, I think the flatter route is faster anyway, but I'm a sucker for hills. So.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that attitude. That's the theme, isn't it? So
yeah,
why not go for it?
Like, you know, it was a bit marginal. I think it was faster, but not crazy different. So
it's evening now at TPR number 4, and in a day of contrasting weather conditions, the Pyrenees mountains have shown that the only constant is change, and preparation is everything. At the summit of the Col de Tourmalet, Tom speaks to Lee Jackson, Cap 36.
This is pretty cool, isn't it?
Oh, it's amazing. I mean, I came here for the views, obviously, but it's yeah, it's pretty epic up here, just with the mist, isn't it? It's kind of eerily quiet. But yeah, with the blizzard this morning as well, it's been kind of all the seasons today.
Did you get caught in the snow?
Yeah. I mean, going up, it was kind of fun in a weird way, because it was really atmospheric, it was quite epic. But going down, I didn't put enough clothes on, and I don't think I've ever been so cold.
And then did you find something at the bottom of that descent?
Yeah, I found a great cafe who, I think they just sort of took a bit of pity on me. Made me a couple of very strong coffees, a bit for food, and after that I was sorted. Yeah, it was fine.
It's amazing, isn't it, that like rhythm of ups and downs on a race like this.
Yeah. I mean, that thing where you always know it's going to hopefully get a bit better. Actually, my legs feel better now than they did probably kind of 12 hours ago. So just got to keep going, get the food in.
Late evening, another long, dark night ahead. The team in Control Car 2 run into Fiona Kolbinger, cap number 4. Fiona and Molly Weaver are the two fastest women in the race, and both high on the overall leaderboard too.
I was not planning to actually come here tonight. And then I realized that if I give some speed up the Tourmalet and make some pressure, then I can actually get up there in daylight and do the gravel section, or at least most of it in daylight. Mm-hmm. That was my calculation. And I hope everybody who's out there will be safe, because it's actually quite challenging. And sure. I was very happy.
How did you find the hike bike gravel section?
Partially okay, partially, you know, like you walk in a riverbed, basically. And it's a hiking trail that is in a riverbed. and I had to carry my bike the last 4K or so most of the time. Mm-hmm. So it was quite rough in some sections, and I definitely wouldn't recommend doing it at night.
It's been an unforgiving second day at TPR number 4. Here's David Eyre, race coordinator, with a summary of where things stand.
Robin Gempola was the first rider to reach CP3 earlier today. He had started the day a little while behind Robert, but had made up ground due to having basically made better kit choices. And Robert didn't have the right shoes really for the hiking trail, and therefore wasn't able to sustain his lead over Robin. Anatole had taken a longer, flatter route around, avoiding going up the Tourmalet, and was closing in hot on Robin's heels. And then we had Manuel Rudaz as well, putting in a really strong performance after a good performance at TPR number 3 last year. He's proving to be a really consistently strong rider now, and seems to be showing no signs of fatigue at this point. Then in terms of the leading women within the race, so Molly had taken a similar route to Anatole, eschewing the hiker bike section in favour of the Portelet, whereas Fiona had taken that off-road option. The gap between them is narrow, but there's a lot of ebb and flow between this point and the coast, the Atlantic Ocean, over the next day and a half as well. Not too far behind them, there were a large group of riders rounding out the top 10 overall. So it feels like there's still all to play for as we move into day 3 of TPR number 4.
Join us in the next episode to see who from our leading group of riders will be first to make it all the way to the Atlantic coast and Control Point 4. Will there be more snow on the peaks of the Pyrenees to challenge our riders' resolve? And if so, might this be a race that all comes down to who came best prepared? Don't forget, you can read Stuart's daily race reports from the road on the Lost Stop website and get regular updates across all our social media channels. Thanks to our race partners, Pedaled, Tailfin, Komoot, and Peak Design.